Philip II of Macedonia, Prince Alexander, Part 1, Early Education. Since the defeat and death of Perdiccas in 359 BCE, Philip had fought, negotiated, and coerced his way to this position of strength, exploiting the opportunities that came his way. While he made mistakes and suffered setbacks and might have died at Methone, his luck had held out and he had learned from his errors, never repeating them. He was stronger than any Argive king in living memory, and perhaps even stronger than any of his predecessors, for none had created such a confident and effective army. Philip might still fail, and all that he created collapse, but his defeat was now harder for enemies to accomplish. Reinforcing his security was the gradual emergence of an heir, old enough to have survived the most dangerous childhood years and still too young to be a rival. Aeschines spoke of the Athenian ambassadors being entertained during a feast at Pella by a 10-year-old Alexander, who played the harp and then engaged in formal debate with another boy. The skills were appropriate for a young Greek aristocrat, although appearing at a party was not, for this was the business of professional entertainers. Now, Philip's son Aridaeus was older than Alexander, but was kept out of the limelight and already seen as unfit to succeed because he was physically, or more probably mentally, weak. Malicious rumors later claimed that Alexander's mother, Olympias, had tried to poison the boy and failed to kill him, instead inflicting permanent harm. Justin makes a vague reference to Philip having other sons, perhaps with lovers, or rather than wives, which did not mean that he could not decide to recognize them if he chose. None appear clearly in our sources, so they either died young or lacked favor, if they truly existed at all. Through his father, Alexander was an Argive descended from Hercules. Olympias and the Molossian royal house boasted Achilles, the greatest warrior of all Greeks in the Trojan War, as an ancestor. There's no doubt she was strong-willed to point of ruthlessness, as was Philip and subsequently Alexander. Her passionate nature went naturally with devotion to the cult of Dionysus in the local form, which included keeping tame snakes in imitation of the Maiads, female companions of the god, famed for their wildly ascetic behavior. Plutarch tells the story of Philip peeking or dreaming that he peeked into Olympia's bedroom and being horrified to see a snake lying with her, invoking all the myths of the gods appearing in various forms to seduce mortal women. Later on, he sent a representative to the oracle at Delphi for an explanation and was told to sacrifice to and revere Zeus Ammon, and that the eye that had peeked through the opening would be taken as forfeit, a tale neatly tying in with his wound at Methone. The whole episode is suspicious, since Alexander later claimed Zeus Ammon as his true father, and it surely was invented. Olympias is said either to have gotten hints of encouragement in the belief or chided her son for making Hera, Zeus's wife, jealous. Plutarch also says that Philip feared Olympias would work magic or was the lover of a god and lost his enthusiasm for sleeping with her and visited her less often. As well as Alexander, the couple produced a daughter, Cleopatra. So for a while, at the very least, the relationship maintained a sexual element. Philip had other wives and his lovers, and apart from that, spent most of his time away from Pella. For young Alexander, his father was surely a distant figure, while his mother was far more familiar and important to him, even if her role was primarily to supervise his upbringing. His nurse was named Lanis and came from an important and favored family. Her brother, Black Clytus, was a companion of both Philip and later Alexander. Three of her own sons would serve and die in Alexander's campaigns. One of the prince's tutors was Leonidas, a relative of Olympias, although kinship did not stop him from searching the boy's belongings and removing any threats secreted there by his mother. Another teacher was Lysimachus of Arcania, who flattered the boy by calling him Achilles, naming Philip Peleus, the hero's father, and his himself Phoenix, who in the stories had taught the young Achilles. As the Athenian delegates had witnessed, Alexander's education included music, something for which he displayed a keen interest throughout his life. There was also study of famous texts, starting with Homer, and paying particular respect to the glories of Athens literature and drama. Now, all this is appropriate for a liberal education of any Greek aristocrat, as was an emphasis on physical training, although his may have been given a distinctly Macedonian slant. Leonidas was a hard taskmaster, and later in life, Alexander quipped that his tutor's idea of a breakfast was a night march, and for his supper, a light breakfast. Formal athletics and the world of the gymnasium were not as celebrated in Macedonia as elsewhere, and as an adult, Alexander showed less enthusiasm for them than he did for Hellenic culture and music, which does not mean that he did not promote them or value them at all. Physical fitness was a central part of his training, if not competition. He later said that he was unwilling to take part in a race unless he could compete against other kings. Equally important was the ability to fight and hunt. If the supposed custom that a Macedonian nobleman could not recline at a meal until he had killed a boar single-handedly was really followed, no source mentions Alexander performing this feat of courage, strength, and skill. Most scholars simply assume that he did this and everything else expected of him as he grew up, although the silence has also been used to claim that he did not and to suggest that he had a sheltered, overprotective childhood. So we're getting a little background on the area of his early childhood. We'll get to Aristotle a little bit later. Now the sources for this, The Politics by Aristotle, The Histories by Herodotus, Histories, 12 volumes, by Diodorus Siculus, Peloponnesian War by Thucydides, and The Lives by Plutarch, Philip and Alexander, Kings and Conquerors by Goldsworthy, History of Macedonia, Volume 1 and Volume 2 by Hammond, In the Shadow of Olympus, The Emergence of Macedonia by Borgia. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.